As the host.
Yeah. Preparing.
Okay. Recording is on.
Oh, you got it. Great.
And we are on. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. It's Monday, August 29th. We are convening here as the W3C Verifiable Credentials for Education Task Force, as we do mostly every Monday at this very time. We got an interesting session today, one that I think us as chairs are particularly fond of. But before we get into the juicy things, let us get through our housekeeping items so we can get rolling. Let's start with an IP note. So these calls are free for everyone to participate in, although if you are going to make substantive contributions, you need to be a member of the Credentials Community Group and have a full IPR agreement signed. To do that, you can just refer to the agenda that you received. There is a link there. It's very easy to join. You just need to create yourself a W3C account and review and sign the contributor license agreement, which is there. Call notes. We do record these meetings, both audio, and we have a transcript thanks to our robot overlords that are helping us with that. In terms of handling questions, we normally use the chat. If you want to be put on queue, just type in Q+ and you'll be added to the queue. Or if you fancy, you can just click the raise your hand button and that will work as well.
Excuse me, Simone, this is Carrie. Yeah. I don't see the transcriber robot working.
So let me call in our friendly robot. Let's see if that, all right. Okay, maybe.
Oh, just started.
All right. Thank you. We're joined by our friendly robot here too. Thanks for that. Great. So let's go through some introductions and reintroductions right now. Anyone new, feel free to kind of raise your hand or just Q+ and introduce yourself if you fancy to. No pressure, but it would be nice. Do here. Okay, and you can always jump in maybe in the flow of the conversation and quickly introduce yourself before you make any contributions or ask any questions. Announcement and reminders. We do have a list of upcoming announcements that we keep track of on our website. That again was distributed with the agenda. If anyone has any announcement or event that they want to showcase or quickly remind everyone of, please do so now. Carrie and actually Marty.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. So just wanted to note the IEEE ILR LER Recommended Practices Group is restarting this Thursday. So getting a lot of community updates. So just let everybody know that is happening. And if you need an invitation, Colin, I'm sure can help you with that.
Thank you, Marty. Great. Thanks for that reminder. Carrie.
Thanks, Bernard. I just wanted to let folks know that registration is still open for PlugFest 2. I'm going to put a link to the chat to the registration form. Our registration is open until September 9th at 12 p.m. noon Eastern. And this link I'm going to put in the chat, too, is a link to the information page about PlugFest. You can feel free to reach out to any of the co-chairs if you have questions about registration or if you want to participate and you're not sure what it takes to participate, because BC Edu is doing this in partnership with Jobs for the Future, which is JFF, and so we'll be able to help you get started. Thank you.
Very good, very good. Let's see. Okay, I do have a quick thing that I wanted to share. So this is on behalf of our friends at the German Academic.
Simone, I think you are breaking up.
Yeah. Same here.
Okay, just only because I'm not sure Simone can hear us. I'm happy to hand things over to you, Leon, if you want to take over from here and tell us more about Gitcoin Passport and walk us through that.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks so much for the invitation, Carrie and Simone and everyone else, I suppose. I'm glad to be here. So, my name is Leon. I'm working with a project called Gitcoin, and one of the products that Gitcoin is working on is a Gitcoin Passport. Maybe just by way of background, Gitcoin started in 2017 with the mission to fund open source software primarily. And at first we kind of built this bounty platform that was utilizing cryptocurrency to pay open source developers to work on issues in repos. So you post up a like issue and say, hey, whoever solves this gets one Bitcoin or one Ether, and then developers are working on it and get paid out. Soon after, we started a grants program called Gitcoin Grants. Gitcoin Grants uses this novel matching funding mechanism called quadratic funding. It's basically more scalable and democratic than one-to-one matching funding. In one-to-one matching funding, right, like you donate $5 and some matching funder adds $5 to that, or if you donate $10, that gets matched by 10. The issue here is obviously that if you have like one community member that's like donating $1 million, then like most of the matching funding will go to that huge donor's cause. So what quadratic funding does is basically it gives proportionally more weight to smaller contributions. So in the matching algorithm, basically like a $1 donation is a 1, and a $100 donation only a 10, and a $1 million donation only a 1,000, by taking the square root of the donation. And this way we kind of make matching funding more democratic while allowing people to show like how much they care a particular project. And that, you know, in turn gives the matching funders like a very good collectively, you know, crowdsourced input on what projects to fund and whatnot. And on the other hand, we get to incentivize like people to participate and make small donations, which is usually hard because they know, okay, a smaller donation actually has more weight. So $1 donation might give me like a couple of $100 match to the open source project that I really like. And Gitcoin Passport comes in primarily as we need to verify the unique humanity of the participants, because obviously you might be able to, you know, just creating like a bunch of cryptocurrency wallets and then donating like very many small amounts, as opposed to, you know, just making one larger donations with that amount of funds. So as system administrator or like someone who operates these quadratic funding programs, which are, you know, inherently like democratic mechanisms, we need to verify that everybody is uniquely participating. And that's kind of what Gitcoin Passport is trying to do. So we are basically building like an identity verification product that tries to verify the unique humanity of participants, but also, you know, verifying personal attributes like memberships or degrees. And I'll talk to like a couple of use cases later, but, you know, maybe as a matching funder, you don't want like anybody to vote on where your matching funds go, but only people with a science degree in, you know, natural science, or only people with a psychology degree or whatsoever. So that is another problem or opportunity space that we want to work on with the Passport. So basically, passports are personal ledgers of verifiable credentials on the Ceramic network, and organizations can assess these identities to coordinate rights and responsibilities, like voting weight in something like quadratic funding. And the cool thing is that since we have like ledgers that could contain like multiple various or like hundreds or thousands of verifiable credentials, we could make identity less binary or like one dimensional centralized thing, but rather make it, you know, a function of like a network of records or a function of like multiple records. So say if you are, I don't know, like if you have a credential that you have a degree in psychiatry and you are based in this or that country and, you know, you've participated in this or that community, only then do you get voting rights in our, say, you know, quadratic funding program around psychiatric research or whatsoever. So the architecture with which you build PASPO, and I'll talk about it, is basically agnostic to like how you want to score identities. But the you know, use case that we are actively exploring are like personal proofs, like just verifying the unique humanity of participants, and then plurality through like recognizing the sociocultural backgrounds of participants and then increasing like rewards for cooperation across these differences. And here's kind of like a high level overview of the architecture of the passport. So basically, the passport itself is like a data structure on the Ceramic network, which is basically like a publicly readable data storage. And then, in our case, people manage their part of that big database, through the DidPKH method. So basically, like you use your Ethereum wallet. In our case, like we take the Ethereum accounts. So people use their Ethereum accounts to manage their passports on the Ceramic network. And at the same time, we map the Ethereum accounts to DIDs, through the DidPKH method. And basically, you know, we take personal data, whether that's like coming from public blockchains or coming from Web2 platforms or organizations. So, you know, in blockchains cases, it might be, you know, data around, you know, what decentralized autonomous organizations you have participated in, or, you know, what Solbonds tokens you hold in Web2 platforms. It might be, you know, your followings on Twitter or like the amount of followers that you have. And, you know, organizations like universities obviously could, you know, issue verifiable credentials to their students. So basically, we basically take data and wrap it in verifiable credentials and map them to the passports or to the passport of a passport holder, right? And then as a passport holder, you can go to digital applications like Gitcoin Grants to get voting weights, or, you know, you could, I don't know, go to a university to get access to the digital library, I suppose, you know, or whatever, you know, you might need to verify about people. So the cool thing is, the whole passport project is open source, and with that, like free of charge. We have an interface that we run. So basically an interface for like this, passport management from like a passport holder perspective, where they can claim a set of verifiable credentials that we have curated that will then score on Gitcoin Grants side. But you know, similarly, like you could build an independent front end and, you know, issue a verifiable credential, say in the educational realm, and then score it in whatever way you want to score it, using the same infrastructure. We could also, and this is something we're actively exploring now, like just another piece of background is like we launched the passport this summer. So it's like pretty much in alpha mode still. But, we are also working on making our front end for these DIDs, very much, compatible with various use cases, so that as a passport holder or a person that's in the passport, you can like manage a world where you have, you know, thousands of verifiable credentials floating around that where like different credentials would be relevant to different applications. So, you know, imagine something like hitting a filter. Okay. What credentials do I need for the Harvard University library? And then you see the like set of credentials that you need to claim or that you already have. And this way, like by use case, you can kind of filter the credentials that you need or that you already have. But yeah, we also have a like in progress, software development kit. I'll send the link to this presentation actually to the chat right now. So I don't forget. I guess the bot will copy it. But yeah, you can check out the software development kit. You can also check out this beginner's guide for developers that someone in our community made. Basically, as you know, other projects will come in, you know, more decentralized applications or just applications. apologies for the crypto slang here. You know, we'll probably add more users who, you know, get utility through passports, and then as more users are there, like, they'll also add more stamps, like more data to their passports, and that'll give even more utility to other applications, right? Because you kind of develop this network effect around the passport, and this way, you know, basically more apps means more users, means more stamps. I guess you get the idea. So currently, in the last grants round, like, we run these grants programs on a quarterly basis because, you know, we have like a capital constraint matching funds, say like $3 million. And then at one point in time, you basically need to take a snapshot of the votes or the donations that came in and distribute these matching funds. So we do this on a quarterly basis and then run like 2 week long grants programs. The first one where we launched a passport was in, July or June, where we had about, I think it was in June, like 12,000 signups to the passport as part of that alpha implementation. And then in the next grants round, we'll implement it again, with the twist that we added a bunch of, stamps, or like stamps here, by the way, I mean, verifiable credentials. It's our analogy for like user minds, to communicate the verifiable credentials. And this way, hopefully making the scoring of the passports more effective in Gitcoin grants, but also just, giving it more utility. And at the same time, like we've started like a partner application program. I'll share some links around that later. So if you'd be interested in, you know, experimenting with passport in your community or application, you can basically chat with us, and you know, you can do it anytime because it's all open source and we have an SDK. But if you wanted to do it through our front end or in collaboration with us, we would benefit because we, you know, learn from like partners how we can improve the SDK and how they are thinking about the application. And, on the other hand, yeah, as an application developer, you'd get more hands-on support from us than just by consuming the SDK. So in September we'll run Grandstone 15, and then hopefully by the end of September we'll ship like, I don't know, 2 to 6 partner applications, from the various conversations that we are in right now. And then, yeah, moving forward, I guess we'll just explore new use cases, within Gitcoin grants, you know, maybe going beyond simple quadratic funding. We can do more pluralistic quadratic funding where like we use the credentials to assess the relationships between the contributors, and then we increase the matching funding for projects that receive like support from a diverse community as opposed to just like a very homogeneous community. You know, like in very simple terms, imagine that currently, you know, we really ignore these, relationships, right? So if a grant, like a project gets many donations from, say, only people from the Ethereum ecosystem, you know, that's kind of an echo chamber of just Ethereum ecosystem supporters, right? But imagine that we had credentials that kind of would allow us to map these, contributors onto a social graph. So basically we could see that and maybe mute, you know, support from homogeneous groups like that. Obviously it's not, that's like simple that it's, you know, Ethereum or Bitcoin or whatever crypto ecosystem is the only groups we would consider. But, you know, ideally we could actually then, increase matching for projects that have support from like explicitly the Bitcoin community, the Ethereum community, maybe also the verifiable credential community. We could add another like dimension of diversity to it and maybe check like at which universities these students have studied. Cause obviously like as a, I don't know, Brown University graduate, you would much more likely, I guess, donate to a project from a Brown student, right? Or like, someone that works on that Brown University spirit. So by basically looking at the social context of these credentials, we can use that to like promote diversity. I think that's one of the like use cases we could explore. Also like just membership, right? Like to participate in this voting program or whatever, you need to be a member of this or that community, and the credentials could be approved for that. You can check out the live interface of Passport here. Just as a note, we are like, the Grants Run 15 starts on September 7th, and we, like, currently we have like 8 data points in here, or like 10, that you can verify. So, and they're not very meaningful, to be honest, right? It's like just, do you have a Facebook account? Yes or no? So we send you through the Facebook OAuth, Google account, yes or no? Twitter account, yes or no? GitHub account. We don't just store the account handles. Like we create, basically encrypted hashes of the account handles. So if someone shows up with two distinct passports that contain, you know, two, like a Twitter verified credential respectively, say that has the same hash, we would know, okay, it was generated from the account handle, but wouldn't know what that account handle is. But basically we just have these 8 data points, and by basically the end of this week, you'll be able to verify up to 61 data points, I think. Some of which will be sub points of existing identity providers. So in Twitter's case, for instance, we'll not only verify whether you have an account or not, but also like how many tweets you've made in the past and like how many followers you have. Not exact numbers to kind of protect PII, but rather like, okay, you have more than 10 tweets, or like more than 100 followers, more than 5,000 followers, and so forth, like using like some thresholds. And yeah, if you want to bring Passport to your community, obviously at the start of the presentation is my email address. I'm happy to chat with you. And but you can also use this form here. Like this form basically populates our backlog of integrations for new stamps. As I said, you can, you know, integrate new verifiable credentials with the data structures on Ceramic and build your own front end. But like we use this backlog to populate the verifiable credentials that we could use in GitCon grants. But we'll also show the list here basically to these partners that we're working with now to verify identity in their applications. If you too want to like utilize Passport to, I know, verify identity in your digital library or like in a community vote or whatever, or I guess there are many other use cases we haven't explored yet, you can use this form here, to share context around your idea and needs, and I'd be happy to follow up. Thanks for the patience and, attention. And yeah, I'd love to discuss with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Leon. Can you all hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, great.
Again, we cut you off as you mentioned the German
thing. Yeah, I'll pick up on that because I want to make sure I share that as a testament to the diversity of this group. And in a sense, I think we should all appreciate how Leon has shared nuances of an ecosystem that is tangential to the one that we're used to, the quadratic funding and voting principles. It is something that is now coming in contact with our community, and it has for a while. And I think that the fundamental truth here is that in this, both our ecosystem do reason from, you know, the principle that education is a public good, right? And on top of that, we have an opportunity to build bridges across technologies or eras of the internet, and it's also a timely opportunity, I think, as in Gitcoin, you have started to develop a narrative and thoughts and software around some of those fundamental primitives, which is great. And I think that's something that, as a community, we have been trying to do, hosting conversations that, you know, would serve as those bridges. And particularly now within this group here, this work group, looking at the PlugFest as an opportunity to really engage in a practical way with showing interop across wallets, issuers. And so we very much see that opportunity of involving actors that have not been part of this community before. So in a sense, adding to that diversity of the group and looking at building out this ecosystem in a pluralistic way, as I think you would say. So as I guess as an outcome that I can anticipate, you know, would love to encourage members of our community to look into your documentation or reach out to you and effectively try to add a stamp to the passport that is an educational credential, for example. And so I think we can work out, you know, how to do that throughout the rest of the call. But that as a frame, that's one of the reasons why we're having this chat.
Thanks so much, Simone. Yeah, yeah, I think we could benefit from like or like all kinds of applications could benefit from educational credentials, like to gain access to, you know, platforms or just analyzing, you know, the social context of the people on the platform. I think it would be super valuable.
Great. So is there any question coming from the group here? Q+, as you know, it's the way to get on the queue. Carrie.
Hey, I think this is really interesting, man. This is really cool. I want to try this out. One thing I was wondering about, this group, we talk a lot about payloads, right? The credential subject content and how verifiable credentials are described and all the standards that exist in education that we are trying to help, you know, get mapped and understood so that verifiable credentials, so the payload data can be understood. Is that something at all you guys are interested in incorporating as part of this? And I can say more if you're not familiar with those.
Yeah, I think I'm not 100% sure like what your question is going at, but I could share what the data and the credentials is that we issue for the like say Twitter stamps also. I know.
Yeah. So and I guess and to be more specific in this group we talk about how is an achievement described? What is the name of the achievement, the description, any sort of skills associated with that achievement. So we have a lot of like standards and taxonomies related to that.
Cool. Yeah, why don't we check out this passport here. Do you see the passport?
Yes.
Okay, so this is the JSON of that credential, I think. I should admit, I don't get everything that's in here, but I think one of the keys is that we store this hash here that allows us to identify whether, you know, if I would again verify a Google stamp with the same Google account, that would be the same, for example. Maybe I think the only provider info here is really just that it's Google, like in the context field. I guess that might be the claim of the credential. So when someone comes to the application on our end, we could you know, identify it as a Google stamp. Yeah, as a Google credential. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Thank you for sharing that. It's nice to see what it looks like. Yeah, I'd be happy to email you separately and send you some of the examples. It might interest your team to see what those look like too.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Thank you, Kara, for the question. And just to add to a nuance around this, you know, the data model, the payload issue here, you know, we have, say, very simple credentials in education and very complex. Very simple being, say, a diploma, which just has a title and a date,
right,
and the university, and a transcript of records, which gets very messy, right? And it's very complex. So, I mean, that's part of the work that we're doing here. And, you know, I can see in a passport, you know, all we want to show is a stamp. And, but the question remains, I mean, if we wanted to double click inside the stamp and, you know, what kind of data would be stored or referenced, here in the passport. And so that's where our head naturally drifts to, when we, want to click inside the credential.
I see. Yeah, that would be, that's definitely something on our mind as well. So currently, for example, with Twitter, you know, we previously just had, do you have an account or not? But in the next iteration, you'll basically open to click this and then you open a sidebar and then the other data points that you can opt into is like the amount of followers and like tweets that you made. But we have background, like we do this because, you know, if you have more than 5,000 followers, it's like at least a bit better evidence that you are a human, right? Than just having a Twitter account. But currently we basically for each of these data points, like 5 or 6, say for Twitter, we would issue 6 distinct credentials, to that passport. Obviously we could also like wrap it all in one. And we are, yeah, basically also trying to figure out like how we split up data into different credentials or like how we, you know, whether we should issue the credentials like as distinctly as possible, if you know what I mean.
Right. Great. I mean, and I think this is just, you know, also part of the beginning of the journey and naturally just going into the details probably is a roadmap item. And so it's another timely, opportunity here to just maybe, look into that together. Plus, I wanted to mention, you know, given that you're leveraging Ceramic network, I know that some of our community members have been building on Ceramic as well or looking into it. So that may be a natural match, as a starting point for a conversation, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Yeah. I'd love to learn from like how you've thought about this.
Great. Maybe we can get back to it. And if there's anyone today on the call that has had that experience and want to drop in and comment, love to. Kalia, you're on the queue. Please, the floor is yours.
Hi. This is more a response to what was just shared. And I just wanted to ask and like why use the term passport and that the use of the term passport concerns me because
interesting.
We have conspiracy theorists tracking our work as a community and painting scary stories. And I think we have to be really careful about the words we choose to describe the things we're doing to help so that the public perception is more aligned with our reality. So anyway, that's just a comment I felt I should voice.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you. Yeah, I think the passport branding is not like really set in stone yet. It was like, so we could very likely, actively explore this, with our marketing, team that are kind of leading like all the branding efforts around passport.
That's
all
great.
Like around blank.
that's interesting. Sorry, Leon. This reminds me of, a comment that, I received many years ago around open badges and open badges being sort of one of the ancestors of modern credentialing technology in a sense. And this was the registrar at Stanford University at the time that did not like the term open badges because it, you know, and he was not alone in that because academia felt that that was kind of just not something that academia would ever accept. And so instead of calling them badges, they would call them internally cognitive skills stamps. And so that stamps comes back. So it's a branding and perception and it does change over the years. So, I mean, thanks for entertaining, also this reflection around the branding, and thank Kalia for pointing out, you know, some of this maybe subtle nuances around that. But, you know, ultimately it's the thing that it does, you know, that also matters. And we are addressing the different layers here in this open conversation.
Yeah, Kalia, just out of curiosity, would you be able to share a bit more about these conspiracy theorists and or like the kind of misconception that like a brand like this might likely cause?
Well, I mean, there's a woman named Allison McDowell who is she describes herself as a parent, and she has taken upon it herself to, you know, I think there are real legitimate concerns that many of us in working on verifiable credentials share about potentially very creepy combinations of technology in the future that impact human freedom.
Right.
So I think we have more in common with the concern side of why these conspiracy theories are being woven.
Right.
And that they're also she's stringing dots together that don't deserve to be strung together, including sort of her last video sort of said, see, look, the soulbound tokens for education, they're trying to make every child have to have these tracking of all their things, and then they're going to pull them into the metaverse and destroy any job prospects for the future because the AIs are going to get trained off their date. Like, it's kind of like, no. And then, oh, yeah, and she also, we were working on legislation here in California, so it was like, look, the state of California is going to track all your children. And anyway, so I'll put a link to a video if you all want to watch. But
yeah, I'd appreciate it.
She has over 16,000 followers, and we're not paying it. Like, yeah, that's not a lot, but it's not nothing. And
before you click that link that Kalia is about to post, be sure to do so in an anonymous tab. You don't want to be sucked into this. You don't want it in your viewing history. You don't want it anywhere because it will just suck you down a rabbit hole of flawed logic at best. And that promises beyond that.
I have to go find it. So it'll take me a little bit, but I'll post it before the end of the call.
Yeah, I think that's good for context, and certainly that's part of the conspiracy theories, you know, entering or poking through our domain. Although I also appreciate Nate's comment in the chat. I don't know, Nate, if you want to share a bit more about that, but you know, it's, you know, what we're trying to do, you know, has to be careful, but at the same time, you know, indeed, there is so much, you know, good work. I think that the positive outcomes that we're trying to get to here, or in a sense, even more than that, you know, the net positive or the positive side effects, as you would probably call them as regenerative, are what we're aiming to. And finding ways of getting these educational credentials mostly to be used and for new use cases and contexts that are emergent across Web 2 and Web 3, I think that's very important, and that's also one of the reasons why we're very happy that you engaged with us here today, and looking forward to pave kind of a way forward, and so that you can rely on this community when, you know, things get into the educational domain side, as, you know, Passport or your project expands. Very much
nice,
you know,
yeah.
Opening, yeah.
If I may, the reason I threw myself on the queue was actually to echo the concern over the titling as Passport, that branding. It's going to be confusing in a lot of ways and lead you into collisions that I don't think will be beneficial. Having a non-collision brand is going to be much better for having it have its own identity and not be confused with things, and not be dressed down for some of those confusions. Governments will not be happy for the branding as Passport, for instance. That's it.
But thank you, Ted. Thank you, and also Kalia. Thanks, Kalia, for voicing that.
I'm wondering if there's anyone that has played around with Ceramic here and maybe storing verifiable credentials on Ceramic that has anything to say or contribute, or just feel free to take this offline directly with Leon. Right, maybe not. So while I wanted to go back to what I was sharing earlier, sorry, let me just make sure that I share this Digital Credential Initiative Monitor data collection that it's a survey ran by the German Academic Exchange Service, the Groningen Declaration Network, and UNESCO. The idea is to just really map resources for digital credentials in education. And I'm going to drop a link here in the chat, so feel free to take a moment and go through it. I think anyone here would have great contributions to share in this data collection exercise.
Do you think is go someone ahead. On the queue?
Let's see. Nope.
Okay, cool. Because I would actually also like to ask everyone here something. So because the reason is that, like, you know, while we're building Passport, we're basically also building like a software development kit for like quadratic funding, you know, that would allow communities to, you know, run these quadratic funding programs with low development effort. And as we're kind of talking to potential like operators of these applications, you know, these third-party quadratic funding apps, like many of these like communities would often like to gate the right to vote on the distribution of the matching funds through actually indeed like academic credentials. So, you know, I guess like it makes sense for specifically stuff in the medical sector, right? You know, if you want to distribute funding for like medical research, kind of seems intuitive to, you know, have like medical expertise involved, or like at least increasing the voting weight of like credentialed physicians or similar. So my question is kind of how would you approach integrations with like these educational certificates generally? Like, is, cause I'm like not super familiar, like at what state, you know, the educational VC sector is at right now. So would you rather approach like university by university, or are there already like kind of meta networks that kind of work with like multiple universities that you could reach out to? Or yeah, curious if anybody has thoughts how to approach that, say if we wanted credentials for, you know, a, you know, physician, for example, like having like a like medicine degree from a school in the US.
Yeah, great. Maybe I'll offer just a quick response, and then I'll popcorn it to John and anyone else that wants to add him or herself to the queue. So on the issuing side of, you know, the game, there are credentialing platforms like the ones that, you know, I work for, Parchment and many others that work with universities. And so with the individual university, they become the tech provider that does, that, you know, provides a platform,
right,
so that those credentials are issued into today accounts that are hosted effectively. But there's been a transition already, you know, emerging for the last few years toward more sovereignty. And so SSI wallets have become a strong presence. In fact, what we're doing with the PlugFest is really addressing the wallet providers and particularly the issuers that want to issue credentials that are more sovereign, meaning, you know, they could be independently verified and, you know, pushed into an edge wallet and right, from them. So that is, the individual university have a path to it through technological providers. Some of them are here present. But there are also national platforms, like in Australia, one is known as MyEquals that runs all the public universities across Australia and New Zealand. Canada has a similar initiative called MyCreds. that involves all the 273 post-secondary institutions in Canada. And so there, for example, in Canada, right off the bat, the approach toward sub-sovereign architecture was there. Matter as a provider of SSI Tech has been a great partner for Digitary and Parchment there, for example. So those are just a couple of examples, but I'd like to hear from, say, John and anyone else who wants to add himself to the queue. Go ahead, John.
Thanks.
I just wanted to address the issue of around networks. And so there are a number of initiatives in place. ASU is working on one to build a network of what they call trusted learners. That's kind of nascent right now. And as far as individual issuers, ASU has an initiative. I know MIT has one. I'm pretty, Marty Reed's got some stuff going on. So there's a lot of separate pilots and successful issuers out there right now for educational credentials of different types. But there's no existing network, but there are initiatives underway. So it would be the one at ASU is called the TLN or Trusted Learner Network.
I see. Could you spell out that link or that organization in the chat, please?
Sure.
That would be awesome. I'll type it.
Again, yeah, also, very, very early.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess it's kind of like literally like a case-by-case basis, right? Like what type of credential you'd need specifically and then seeing what's out there.
There's a big development at ASU I'm involved in that's going to be issuing lots of micro-credentials as VCs for educational records, but that's still like in very early pilot phase internally.
And also, thanks, Kerry. I saw your comment, and with that, I'd love to talk about that consortium now or some other time.
Kerry, do you want to add a bit more?
Sure. I can say a little bit about the DCC, which is the Digital Credential Consortium, and also to let you know that I think we've seen pretty big increase over the past year in the projects and the movement of the projects. And a lot of this has to do with people starting to understand what verifiable credentials are in education. That's part of the work of this group, is to help people understand. And we are thinking about, the co-chairs, we've been talking about how to create a directory so folks can find each other, working on use cases as a community for the past year. And we're going to be putting out a basic recommendation for credentials in education that you can take a look at. This is what I can share with your team at some point that will it'll point to there are some standards like open badges and the comprehensive learning record that already are aligned with verifiable credentials. And then there are a lot of other data standards with all of these descriptions that we can demonstrate how, like, make recommendations how to include those in VCs. And at the Digital Credential Consortium, what we're doing is building out software to help with signing and verifying and issuing of the credentials, but also an open wallet, like a reference software that says, here's what a verifiable credential wallet looks like. Here's how it can work with some of the protocol standards like VCAPI, and just sort of like help demonstrate how all of this can work within the ecosystem. And then for those who are interested, try and help them get them on board.
Nice.
We're pretty heavily involved in this group to help grow the ecosystem, help it be more understandable and easier to use over time. Kind of like what you're thinking of doing too, I think.
Yeah. Thanks, Kerry.
There's obviously an issue of the ability to scale. So if we look at the existing networks, let's say Digital Credential Consortium or the ones that have been mentioned, Trusted Learner Network and the others, in Europe, for example, there is an emerging, European blockchain service infrastructure that handles use cases around diplomas and academic transcripts. So by connecting those networks, those ecosystems, I think we could be reaching faster scale. And so that is certainly interesting. But also, I guess the ecosystem that you're building, the new ecosystem, feels like, you know, would be a great, I mean, your password would be a great place for, citizens or people to, you know, push their academic credentials into if they see that there's a value for that or there is some utility for that. And this, I think you're building as we speak. And so that is what we want to enable, like create those connectors, those bridges here, understand, you know, how like we can go from where we have been on this journey so far from so open badges, you know, comprehensive learner records, turning them into verifiable credentials according to W3C, meaning that they're more fit for being able to be verified independently on the centralized networks and adding those privacy preserving features that, you know, that we all aim to. And we haven't really touched on consent, for example. I mean, there's, you know, a stack of issues that we're trying to address. And this is why we're here, effectively.
I see. Yeah, this all sounds great. I guess this, like, most likely, I'll like definitely reach out when some of these potential partners that want to utilize Passport or our grants protocol want to, you know, gate access to voting weights through some degrees. I think it would be like a very obvious playing field to collaborate, you know, and build bridges between the like issuers of educational credentials and these passport applications.
I suspect that some of the organizations that would be interested first would be credentialing platform or issuers, technology providers that may have already universities that they work with or other training institution. And so if anyone here wants to get in touch with you, you know, beside getting in touch directly, since you share your contacts, we as chairs would be very happy to matchmake a little bit and possibly with the outlook of aiming at the Plugfest as an opportunity to really showcase some cool interop. That is really one of the things that we're working toward. And it feels like, you know, the timing may be right, to be able to make a step in the right direction. And that would be kind of the time frame. So this Plugfest again is already launched. We do have a demo day, let's say, that is on November 14th. This is right before the Internet Identity Workshop. So that's an opportunity again for everyone that wants to try to maybe look at the passport as, you know, a wallet, quote unquote, that they want to issue verifiable credential into.
Very cool. Yeah, I just figured, and like, unfortunately, I'll be on vacation at the time of the Plugfest, but maybe we can, is it like possible to attend, say, like for a Gitcoin team member?
Absolutely.
Nice.
Absolutely. We'd love to. In fact, I mean, this is, you'll see us keeping a tab on developments around Plugfest every Monday in these calls, but okay. We also have resources and carriage shared in the chat. And it's never unfortunate to be on vacation, so it's absolutely fine. And the great thing is that I think there is a team of you working on this, so happy to facilitate that collaboration.
Yeah, I'll pitch it internally as well.
Carrie, go ahead.
I was just also going to add to that, you may not know about this because you're new to our call, that we have a mailing list for this group that is focused on education specifically. And I'm going to just put the link to this in the chat.
Cool.
And it's just a good list. And so we're encouraging those who are participating in the Plugfest to send messages on this mailing list too so that we can learn from each other.
Nice. Thanks, Gary.
Sure.
Yeah. And just to give you a sense, this is phase two of Plugfest, which is going to be a journey. Phase one, we had about, the focus was a wallet provider, SSI wallet providers, you know, that should showcase the ability to display a verifiable credential. This was an open badge version 3, which is a verifiable credential. It was about 22 organizations that participated. Now, phase two is more focused on the issuers, right? So we reach out to traditional issuers.
Right.
And so SSI issuer to be able to showcase interop and issuing into different, at least two different wallets. And so as I guess Colin nicely framed it here in the chat, you know, it would be great to see Gitcoin at Plugfest this year.
Thanks. Yeah. I'll try to make it happen through somebody else. But yeah, thanks so much for having me here today. I'd love to hop in sometime in the future. I saw that I'm on the calendar invite now, Simone. Thanks for that.
Keep that. Thanks, Brent, for pitching in as well. So let's keep this conversation going. Anyone that wants to get in touch has your contact, but we'll be happy to facilitate again this.
Nice.
All right, we are at time. Thanks again, everyone. You'll hear from us about next events and appointments via the mailing list. So keep an eye out for that. And let's coordinate more. Again, thanks. Education is a public good, as we would all agree here.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Simone, and thanks, everybody, for having me being patient.
Just to follow up, as we close, I did put two links into the chat, and there's another one that I can't find, but maybe I'll share on the mailing list so folks can see it.
Nice. Yeah. Thanks for that, Kalia. Have a good week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.